Please forgive me as I work with my emotions here. Just the wisdom that Alex spoke about not pushing it off. Are you 14? Yeah, that's where I was about that age when I heard and felt the invitation of the Lord, and I said no. I had to live a life of regrets. I suppose I'm still even reaping and sowing from some of those years. But God is good. God is good. He sent another invitation. Hallelujah. God sent another invitation. And just praise be to Him that He will continue to send invitations. But He has spoken. Alex has spoken well. Don't push it off. And I would echo that decision. Don't push it off. So if you hear the Lord invitation, it's a good thing. It's a welcoming thing. It's a life-giving thing. It's a hopeful thing. It's good. Yes, you have to forsake your own life, but you can experience it like me and make a mess of things, because that's the way life goes when you don't honor the Lord as King and make Him Lord of your life. Man's wisdom just doesn't end up in a good place. At least that was been my story. So, but hallelujah. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will not harden your heart, you can enter in. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How is it for you when you reflect back to that day, that story? How is it for you? Is it a good day? Hallelujah. You have decided. The day of your baptism, was it a celebration? Hallelujah. I'm making a public statement. Hallelujah. What a good thing. Well, this morning I thought I would just share on some things that I thought maybe would be good for us just to hear again. I know we probably know it, but I thought maybe it would be good to just hear some of it and trust that the Lord will minister to us here this morning, because it's His story that He is inviting you into. It's His God's gospel story that He is inviting you and sinners into a life with Him, into a relationship with Him. So this is about His story, and He is inviting you into it. So I hope to be looking at a few things that should happen before baptism. Just want to go over a few of them, which I think we're all very familiar with. But then also I want to look at the things that need to take place after baptism. Before baptism, in my own words, a person needs to feel conviction of sin and to recognize that they are not in right standing with God. They must believe and recognize that God had made provision for humanity and to make it personal. That provision is through Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, His resurrection from the grave. Then comes repentance. Marcus shared rather clearly of what repentance is here in the adult Sunday school class. Of repentance is turning from our sin, turning from our lifestyle of our own will, and hating sin as God hates sin. If we don't hate sin, are we God lovers? Turning toward Jesus Christ. In the turning process, we acknowledge that He is Lord. I'm no longer Lord of my life. So this is all what happens before baptism. A recognition of your sin, repentance, and a surrender. Like the prodigal son, he surrendered his own way. So he chose to leave his father and go out and do life his own way. Like I did at 14, I made that choice to say, no, there's more things. I wanted to do things my way, and so I chose to go my own way. But when he turned, he surrendered his will. He came back to the Father and said, make me your servant. Do you see the heart change? He's no longer being Lord of his own. He wants to be a servant. And that's what happens when we surrender and make him Lord of our lives. So I thought I would just take a little bit of time to, let's look at what happens in heaven when the day a sinner repents. I think we know the passage well. Jesus described it. He was teaching the different people there. The tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered together around to hear Jesus. And I didn't make note of the passage here, but it's in chapter 15. Could be John, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. I'm sorry. But I think we know the story well. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them the parables. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 and in the open country and go after the lost sheep? Until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need repentance. So here we have the story of the prodigal son was going away from the father, but then he chose to turn around and come back. And the story of the prodigal son, the prodigal's father, you know, he received his son back and he rejoiced and made celebration and make merry, he said. Let's kill the fatted calf and let's make merry. Why? Why all the hoopla? What all the big deal? Look at what he did. No, the relationship has been restored. The son was going away from the father. I was going away. You were going away. We were going away from the father. And when we stop and say, no, I don't know what I'm doing. I made a mess of myself. I'm a sinner. I need to repent. I surrender. I'm just going to go back to the father and I'm going to ask to be his servant. And you see the heart change. And at that moment, there's glory in heaven. Hallelujah. Because the relationship is going to be restored and there's hope and there's relationship and there's ongoing things that can happen because they're facing each other. The father and the sinner are facing each other. Why not? Don't we like when relationships are restored and they're working again? Hallelujah. There's hope. When the prodigal son was out there and who knows where, there wasn't hope. I was hopeless. Were you hopeless? But when we're face to face with the Father, there's hope because he gives life through the death and resurrection of the cross. So for those that love the kingdom of heaven, I think we should be celebrating because heaven is. Are we citizens of the heavenly kingdom? We should be celebrating too, because sinners have repented. And they're willing to step in the water and declare that I am done with myself, which is a huge commitment. And you face that decision today. And we'll get into that more later on here. But we'll have to keep making that decision. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, tomorrow you may be faced with the same challenge of needing to, again, I have decided to follow Jesus. This situation is hard for me. But yes, I'm going to do the right thing, and God will help me. Why? Because I'm face to face with the Father, and I can face tomorrow. That's hopeful, brothers and sisters. And let's rejoice. Let's celebrate because of that. Hallelujah. They heard the Savior say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy head upon my breast. The prodigal has returned home to his intended place. Kill the fatted calf, he says. Let's celebrate. Heaven is. Will you? Let's. But sometimes, what happens in that moment, you know? Sometimes we have the mindset of the prodigal son's, the prodigal's brother. I think that's a joy killer if we have too much of that mindset. When we look at the waste that the sinner was involved in or what the repentant sinner needs to accomplish to live out the life of obedience, which are very important and needful things, I don't want to minimize that there doesn't need to be further growth in my Christian life and in those that I think you are very well aware of the growth that needs to continue to happen. But today is the day it is, just let's celebrate, and tomorrow God will help us face things tomorrow. And it will happen, and it will begin to happen. And it can happen now because a lost son came home, a relationship has begun. The father's influence can now and will be heard. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit can influence these young believers. The Holy Spirit can influence you and I as we go on in our Christian life. God dwells with those. And where God dwells, his kingdom rules. The father of prodigal son put a robe on and a ring on his return home son. It's like he said, you belong here. You're welcome here. I'm okay with you. Why? Because you returned home to be under the authority of the heavenly kingdom. You want to have a relationship with the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven wants to have a relationship with you, and that's the right place to be. The kingdom of heaven wants to have a relationship with you, and you want to have a relationship with the kingdom of heaven. That's a good thing. So let's just look at what happens at baptism real quick. Just a few thoughts on what happens at baptism. So what I was describing for prior is, I feel like those are the things that happen prior to baptism. And not only do they have to happen prior to baptism, I do think they have to happen after baptism also. So we're not just once repentant. More than likely we'll have to repent again. And that's okay. Why is it okay? Because we're facing the Father, and he's speaking to us, and he's talking to us, and we have a relationship, and there's growth, and there's maturity, and it's okay. It's all good. God is very merciful, very gracious. He's okay with that. So now that a sinner has repented and surrendered and is facing toward heaven and Jesus Christ as Lord, they come under, again, like I mentioned before, they come under the authority of heaven and its guidelines. So this is where baptism comes in. It's an outside declaration that I have decided to follow Jesus, to make him Lord of my life. I choose to order my life to the dictates of the heavenly kingdom. First Peter 3:21, and baptism, which is a figure of the deliverance. Now, does now also save you from inward questioning and fears, not by the removing of outwardly bodily filth, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was an amplified version of 1 Peter 3:21. So that's what happens at baptism. It's an answer of a good and clear conscience of the inner work of what Jesus Christ has done in your heart. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This verse is found in Mark 16:16. This verse emphasizes the importance of both faith and baptism. Baptism to me is like a step of obedience. And so a sinner repenting finds his obedience to the word and the kingdom of heaven. And baptism is that outward sign of, I'm going to do it the way God says, and I'm going to step into the baptism waters because God said to do so. And I don't know that we understand all the spiritual things that happen, but I'm going to obey the word of God. He says, get baptized. So I'm going to do it. And it's the answer of that clear conscience that I am facing heaven and I'm having relationship with him. And if his word says to be baptized, then I will get baptized. And it's the beginning step of an ongoing life of obedience. When the word of God says, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. Yes, Father. My heart is towards you. I'm not doing my own thing here. Yes, this is hard. Okay. Yes, Lord. And it's that another step of obedience. So life, baptism is to me a step of obedience. So we looked at what happens prior to baptism. We looked at what happens at baptism. Prior to baptism is repentance, a surrendered life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at baptism, we make that outward commitment of a clear conscience and a step of obedience. And now let's just look at some things that I felt would be important to consider after baptism, as we have to face tomorrow. So what happens after today? Today is the feast. Today is the celebration. Today is the joyous occasion of sinners public stating that I've decided to follow Jesus. So what happens tomorrow after baptism? What happens after the celebration? Tomorrow's back to life. We go back to work. We go back to relationships with others. For Jesus, after his baptism, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted. He was tried. The children of Israel, as they went through the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness. Their faith was tried. They were without water sometimes. There's different difficulties that they faced. The children of Israel ended up muttering sometimes. God was only wanting them to keep their faith face towards him and have that relationship and keep going. I think sometimes we tend to look at salvation too much as a state of being. Okay, now I'm saved. I've arrived. I'm saved. I made a commitment. I had baptism. I'm good. I'm in. Rather than maybe an ongoing process, I think both are true. We are in. We have arrived. But tomorrow, as we have therefore received Christ as the Lord, now we need to walk in it. We need to continue the walking process. Tomorrow, we have to live it out. We have to live out obedience. Let me go on to explain what I think about needing to hold those two in tension. If we hold the view that salvation is a once and done thing, we rarely see the need to continue the sanctification process, to grow in obedience, and to listen to the Spirit and the Word of the Lord. On the other hand, if we hold the view of salvation as something we need to continue to do and perform, we will not experience the rest that Christ has given to his beloved children. Today is the day of salvation. Today we can be up to date with a clear conscience and stand before God, lifting up holy hands and a pure heart. And tomorrow we can be convicted of a sin that needs to be repented of and an attitude change and sanctified. And then we can continue the whole process again. We can say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please forgive me. Yes, I want to do it your way. And then we continue the sanctification process. And then tomorrow, we can lift up holy hands and have a clear conscience because we dealt with tomorrow's sins. On tomorrow, not today. We're not dealing with tomorrow's sin. Are you with me? We're not dealing with tomorrow's sins today. But tomorrow, when we're living in tomorrow, we deal with tomorrow's sins, and then we have a clear conscience, and our face keeps facing the kingdom of heaven. Our face needs to keep turning towards him. And who's going to be saved? Who will be saved? This is scriptural. They that endure to the end. So today could be the end, and we'd be saved. But tomorrow, we face tomorrow. And tomorrow could be the end. And if we have a clear conscience, and we are faithful to the end, we'll be saved. Be faithful and endure to the end. All of us. Because those that endure to the end will be saved. Faithful to the end. And this journey and faithfulness to the end isn't just, it's not just on us. I want you to recognize that this journey to the end is the relationship between you and the Father. It's not just you mustering things up. It's not about your own works of righteousness. It's about that ongoing relationship. And yes, out of that loving relationship with you and the Father, there is obedience and there is grace and strength. But the Heavenly Father, as is interested in your success as you are for your own success. So never forget that the Lord is very interested in having you faithful to the end. He's like, oh, well, there'll be faith on the earth when I come again. He has an interest in that. Are you interested in having faith to the end so that when he comes, the same position as when we step into that baptismal water, yes, I have decided to follow Jesus, with that enthusiasm and with that hope, we look to the end, and when he returns, yes, he's coming again. He's here. He showed up. We've made it. Him and I made it to the end faithfully. He's very interested in your faithfulness to the end. Here are a few verses. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God, just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. That's in Hebrews 3:14. in the NLT. Let me read that again. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Philippians 1:6, I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished at the day when Christ Jesus returns. He has an interest in seeing us to the end. Don't give up. You know, we heard about the story of Solomon getting derailed. That's the tactics of the enemy. The enemy wants to throw all kinds of darts. We're in a warfare. We need to keep our face towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19. Jesus was saying to his disciples that they go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So there we see baptism. And then verse 20, he goes on to say, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So it feels to me like, yes, baptism is a very important part, but tomorrow, continue to be observe and do what the Lord Jesus is asking you to do. So there's an ongoing thing. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the word. Delight yourself in it. Meditate on it. Remember that your self-worth is not in what you do, but it's who Jesus says you are. You're a child of the King. He has put his robe on you, has put a ring on your finger. You are his. That is your self-worth. Don't try and prove your life to anybody. Glorify the Father. Never be ashamed or embarrassed to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If so, if you will be ashamed and embarrassed to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be ashamed and embarrassed of you. Walk by faith. Don't go by feelings. You are welcome to acknowledge your feelings, but they should never take a higher place in your life than the Word of God. Be honest with God. Be honest with other mature Christians about your feelings. You're in a warfare. You're going to feel darts. You're going to feel discouraged. You're going to... It's okay. I've been there. But I am persuaded that who you have committed your life to is faithful. Just keep coming back to that. Satan's going to want to beat you up. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. The devil wants to destroy you. Watch out for the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. They choke out the word of God. Don't try and save your life. He that tries to save his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life shall find it. Be willing to be conformed into the image of Christ. Have an attitude of a little child. Don't pursue riches. Jesus says it's hard for a rich person to get into heaven. Be accountable to other Christians. I think there's a lot of strength in strength that we can get from being accountable. And if I could just leave one most important thing, is always have gratitude. Always have gratitude for who God is. To me, it's If I could preach to myself, it would be one thing. Or I should say, it would be one of the strong messages. Jason, just be more thankful. Just be more thankful. I mean, what are you complaining about? I mean, look at what you have. Why are you muttering today? Why are you downcast? Would you just stop, Jason? We have plenty. We have riches in Christ. So be grateful. Be thankful. Trust that those words can be an encouragement to you. Celebrate at what God has done. He is there for you tomorrow to walk through, face, and do it victoriously. So God's grace is to you all. Oh, Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Give them a vision for the kingdom. All right. I think at this time, let's stand and have a word of prayer here, and then we can consider ourselves dismissed to congregate out there beside the pole. Lord, we do just want to say thank you for having an interest to humanity and to the humanity that has gathered here this morning. And specifically for Daniel, Alex, Leah, and Sarah. Lord, thank you for the interest that you have in their lives. I pray your special blessing and grace to them today as they step into the water to testify that they have turned their back to the world, turned their back to the pig pen, and are facing you. Give them the peace and joy in their hearts to celebrate today. May we rejoice with them today. May our hearts overflow with the goodness of God, that he continues to invite sinners to himself. And Lord, if there are sinners here this morning that are convicted, would they also recognize that they should take your invitation? Would you bless the rest of our service here? May you come, pour out your Spirit on these young believers, that they could be filled and guided by the Holy Spirit and comforted into all and guided into all truth. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.